grandbabies over here want to go back with the other ones, y'all are more than welcome to also. And y'all heard that right. Pastor's got grandbabies now. I'm the best looking grandma there is in Logan County. Amen. Well, hey, happy Easter to each and every single one of you. Hey, you got to make jokes about that kind of thing. I'm going to let them get back there. How is everybody doing for Easter? Are we good? Do you know that you're blessed this morning? Yeah. Amen. You know, I have no doubt that some of you have come in here troubled. Maybe you've come in here stressed. You know, just because it's Easter, it does not mean that you don't still have problems. And so I want to know today, are you ready for God? Are you ready? If he came today, would you be ready? Amen. Oh, there's the little Holloway babies here too. I used to hold Hannah. Now she's got two babies, which makes me feel very old. I'm a grandma, that is right. Well, hey, y'all stand to your feet. We are going to do what we do every single Easter. If you're visiting with us, we always stand every single Sunday, and we stand because I want you to understand what you're doing, and what you're doing is you're standing, and God has made you well able to stand. Everything in your week could have discouraged you, could have made you want to quit, could have made you say, God, this is too hard, but see, God has you up on your feet. And he's going to keep you that way. There isn't a devil in hell that can keep you down. So I'm going to begin to pray. If you've had a troubled week, if you've suffered with stress and anxiety and depression, maybe sickness in your body, I'm going to ask you to begin to raise those hands because, see, I believe God is meeting you right where you're at. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, your word says that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up depression in this place. I bind up stress and fear and anxiety. And, God, right now, I loose the spirit of peace, God, and healing. Lord, let every person in here that's got a troubled heart, God, I ask that you give them peace right now. For everybody that's hurting in here, God, I ask that you'd give them healing. God, for anyone addicted, I ask that you would breathe recovery into their life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made. As Brother Dan Parsons used to say, I won't stomp my feet, but that's what he used to do. And if, for those of y'all that don't know who I'm talking about, that was a deacon that we had way back, the very first deacon, back in 1987. Paris Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry. And what that basically means is all faiths are welcome here. We do not segregate Baptist over here and Catholics over here and this one and that one. Look here, if you believe in Jesus, that's all we really care about. Amen. And so I would like for my mother and father to stand up. I've learned to give honor and credit to where honor and credit is due. And they founded this ministry. Dad, do you have anything you'd like to say to the folks? Amen. And we have Easter egg hunts also with lots of eggs. So we hope that you'll stay. Our teenagers are going to be serving that meal. And we have little tip boxes. If you would like to tip the teens, you can. Anything that they get in those tip boxes will go directly towards their next event. Now, hear me and hear me really well. You do not have to put in a dime there. If you don't got it, we are not worried about that. We want you to sit and eat with us and fellowship and have a good time. How many of you are ready for the word this morning? Amen. Well, you know, I'm not your normal pastor. Nothing about me is normal. And a lot of Easters have gone by without me even preaching about Easter because I know people expect that. But today I am going to preach about Easter, and there are so many aspects and angles in which to preach it. But this morning I want to encourage you to do one thing, and that is stop looking at people. Stop looking at people. People will let you down. They'll disappoint you. You'll get discouraged. You'll put your hope in people. And look here, at some point in time, any person on the planet can and will let you down. And so your focus should not be on people, but it should be on the living God. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 6 through 10. And I'm going to kind of set the stage for you. We went over this passage last week on Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday marked the beginning of Jesus' first steps towards his death, towards his crucifixion. And so in Matthew chapter 21, verse 6, we're going to start here. They've already gotten the donkey, and here's the disciples. And it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now that word Hosanna there, its actual meaning is save now. So here's all these people. And you know, when you are going to take your most difficult steps in life, that is when many times you will have your biggest audience. Is when you're going through the biggest battle of your life, when you're Jesus and you're taking your steps towards your destiny to die for a bunch of ungrateful people, you're going to have a big audience there. And they were saying, Hosanna, which said, save us, save us. So in this passage, all the people, they're all about it. They're welcoming Jesus. Yes, we need a Savior. We want you to save us. But we're going to watch how the people transition, because what we need to realize is that we have to be more like Jesus, and we cannot focus on people. Many times as a pastor, I hear, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore because I got hurt in the church. Well, let me correct you. Let me just make a correction. Was it the church that hurt you, or was it a person in the church? I got two amens. I'll take them. Was it the church? Or was it a person in the church? See, we put so much stock in the politics of Christianity. You're either saved or you're not. And that's the bottom line. Amen? And you cannot focus on people, because people, well, how many of you know that you're half crazy yourself? Need I say more? For all y'all that put your hand up, God is happy that you are being truthful today. And the rest of you, you're either not voting or you think that you're not crazy. And I'm telling you, most of you, I'm your pastor, and you guys are half nuts. But it takes a nut to run some nuts. Amen? There you go. Now, if you're offended over that, you're going to have to get over it. Because if we can't joke and have fun in church, there's not a whole lot more we can do, because you don't need to be so uptight. Life is hard enough. So we see here they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're saying, Jesus, save us. We need a Savior. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Now Jesus had 12 disciples. And how many of you know he was close to those men? He was close to them. He loved them. Those were the closest people to him. And so here, we're going to read about Judas. And it says here, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? See, there's people in the world, they're always looking to get something. Okay? Now, the word says that there is nothing new under the sun. So the same stuff that went on back then still goes on in our present day. Amen. So Judas wasn't unlike anybody else in today's world. He was saying, how much will you give me to give you what you want? How much will you give me? See, you can't afford to look at people and all of their stuff, because you know what? You'll get off track yourself. The moment you start looking at somebody else and saying, well, God, I know what I'm doing wrong, but Sally Sue over here, she's doing a number 10, and I'm only doing a number 8. Look here, you best pay attention to your own self. Right. Amen. And it says here that he went to the chief priest, and he asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. And from then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. He watched for an opportunity. That would be like one of your best friends being with you all the time. But really, they were looking for an opportunity to do you wrong. Now, I am not a Catholic priest, and I love Catholics. I'm married to one. But I do hear my fair share of stuff. I don't take confessions, but I hear some stuff to the point where I'm like, you know, you can quit talking at any point in time. I don't really need to know what happened behind closed doors at your house. Please stop talking. But I have heard some stuff over the past few years since I've been a pastor. And what I do know is that people put so much stock into how other people hurt them, how other people have disappointed them, how other people have cheated them, cheated on them, how other people have done them wrong, how other people have, slighted them. And you know, maybe you've had a family disagreement. Now you ain't talking for 20, 30 years. Look here, we put too much of ourselves into that nonsense when what we really need to take out of the book, if that happened to Jesus, it can happen to you. If it happened to him, it can happen to you. And we don't throw people away when that happens. What we do is we learn. The word says that he that wins his souls is wise. So you're either going to be full of wisdom and the love of God, or you're going to be like everybody else. And you have to make that choice about how you're going to be in your life. That's why the word of God says, now choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life? Or do you want death? Because, see, every day of your life is a choice. Is a choice. You're going to choose how you live your days. Every single day is a different choice for you. And the choice is yours. But if you keep putting all your little pennies in the people basket, you're going to be let down. And you won't be able to help a bunch of people. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching this. There's so many angles to preach on Easter Sunday, but God said this one. So I'm going to do what I normally do, is hammer it into the ground. By the way, Alyssa and Tyler have 6 more days till they're getting married. Yeah. Amen. A week from today, you guys are going to be 2 old married people. We'll welcome you into the club when you do. So we've got Judas. He's there. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to look at verse 31. Now, interestingly enough, here's one of the things that I love about the Easter story, is Jesus knew the people that were plotting against him. He knew the people that were going to betray them. And guess what? He decided he was going to love them people anyways. One of the things that I love about what he did is at the Last Supper, at the Passover, he knew that Judas had done that. But what did he let him do? He let him come and sit at the same table and eat after he collected the 30 coins. He let him come and he sat. See, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to keep it real. If somebody did that to me, I'd be like, no, you're not even going to sit in the same room as me. You're going to sit in the back. And if I see you, I'm probably going to strangle you. Now, this preaching may be too real for you, but I'm going to preach where we all live. When somebody messes you over, what is it? What's your first inkling? A lot of times we want to give it right back to him. Look here, you're not going to be successful if you carry that out. You're not going to get to your destiny if you carry those things out. See, God's wanting to give you the best shot at success. And your best shot isn't when you're holding a grudge. Your best shot isn't when you're nursing an old wound. You know, in the beginning of 2023, God was dealing with me on some things, and I'm a very hard-headed person. Very hard-headed. Ask my parents. And God began to deal with me about this because there's something about me that wants to hold a grudge with people. And I think it's because of years in the ministry. And it's very difficult to not do that. And God told me, he said, Kelly, you either want to be well or you're going to be bitter, but you cannot be both. You cannot be both. And I said, God, I want to be well. And I began to preach a series about being well. Now, Matthew chapter 26, we're going to look at verses 31 through 35. And it says, "Then Jesus told them, 'This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.' And Peter replied," here's another disciple, "'Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will.'" Isn't that great? Well, Peter spoke a little bit too soon. Here's Jesus, and he's saying, yeah, all y'all are going to fall away. And here's Peter, and he's the goody two-shoes, and he says, "Lord, if everybody falls away, you can count on me. I am not going to fall away. I will be there." How many of you have had people say that they're going to be there for you and they weren't? Was it hard for you to get over? Are you still struggling with it today? Some of you are and some of you are not. And you know what? I appreciate the people that can say yes, because you're going to get somewhere if you can be honest with yourself. Amen? So here's Peter. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Three times you're going to say you don't know who I am. Sometimes we get into places in our lives where we've done so much for others. Maybe you've got someone in your life and you keep on doing for them and you keep on doing for them and you want them to love you back so much. You want them to have your back so much. You expect things out of them so much and they continue to disappoint you. Now, Jesus knew exactly what Peter was going to do. And instead of acting all cranky about it, he just said, "You know what? Here's the truth of the matter, Peter. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And that was the end of it. He kept on loving them. He kept on going. See, just because you know what somebody's capable of doesn't mean that you got to be ugly to them. Just because you know that somebody's done you wrong a million times doesn't mean you got to shove that down their throat. You don't. Now, what I'm preaching is very difficult to do. But if you want to really live in victory, you're going to take the high road. You're going to keep your head held high, and you're not going to act like everybody else. Isn't this difficult? Man, when somebody does something to me, I want to at least be able to have the liberty to give them a dirty look. And we live in a small town, and by golly, there have been times, I will admit, I've drove up in the Walmart parking lot, and if I see Sally Sue's car, I'm like, nope, I ain't going up in there. Sally Sue, Walmart ain't big enough for me and her. She really doesn't exist, but I have done that with different people. Nobody in here. Now look, y'all, this is a joke. But you get what I'm saying? We can't get anywhere in life doing that. What do you want out of your life? You know, the word says, "In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being." You haven't really lived unless you've lived in Christ. You haven't really been till you've been in Christ. And you haven't really made some moves until you've moved in Christ. God will ask you to do something that may seem like it's the hardest thing for you to do. But look here, that one act of obedience will put you so much further in your life. It'll put you so much further into your destiny, into your calling. See, God's not going to call you to always do the easy stuff. He's going to call you to overlook an offense. He's going to call you to forgive. He's going to call you to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that, have that offense that I've been having. I'm going to let that person out of that unforgiveness, and I'm going to begin to love them and pray for them. You know, you can be more effective in your life and in the lives of others if you'll just say, you know what, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to hold it against you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. And we're going to read Peter's denial of Christ. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him, and she said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. And immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Now he outwardly, vocally denied Christ. But do you know how many times we deny Christ on a daily basis? By our actions? There's times God tells me to do something, and perhaps it's not something that I'm not real crazy about, and I'll be like, you know, maybe that was the devil saying that to me. Surely God doesn't want me to overlook that jerk over there. There's no way. But see, we're going to choose how we're going to be. And you've got one life to live. You're not coming back as a butterfly or a cute little dog or anything else. There's judgment day, and it's scheduled for every one of us. We deny him all the time by the things that we do, by the things that we say. The other day, I was messaging somebody. How many of you know texts are awful? Because you can't tell the tone that people are talking to you through a text. So, Alyssa, this person texted me, and I thought they were being snippy. Now, I'm Italian and Puerto Rican, and I got something in me that hasn't quite gotten the glory of Jesus thoroughly. I just sent him a little something snippy back. It's awful when the pastor has to tell on themselves. But you know why I do that? Because if I can keep it real behind the pulpit, y'all can keep it real out there. You got to know that it's okay to say when you're wrong. You know, most people, the hardest thing for them to do is just say, I was wrong. I did it. I was wrong, and I'm not going to defend it. It was wrong. I did wrong. Send him a little something snippy back, Kayla. Well, this person just happens to be a very sweet person. Tori's looking at me like, what the heck? I know. Well, this person totally just disarmed me. They started being so sweet. And I was like, well, now I feel like a jerk. They weren't trying to be rude to me at all, Dwayne. But you know what? They just caught me on an off day. How many of you have an off day? That's when we deny Christ a lot, is when we just have an off day. It's on those off days that you see who you really, really are, what's really inside of you. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if you ever say something you thought, why did I say that? Well, it was inside of you. A lot of people say, Pastor Kelly, how did I cuss that person out in harps? Well, because you were imagining yourself cussing that person out in harps, and you've envisioned that many, many times, and then you did it. Now, how does this relate to Easter? Look here. We got to learn from how he did things. If he had the people very close to him denying him, giving him away to the soldiers, guess what? you can very well expect there's going to be some things in your life you're just going to have to turn the other cheek, and you're going to have to say, I will not hold that against that person. Because when we really looked at what Christ did for us, he did not hold one thing against us. And if you will not hear anything else that I'm saying to you today, I want you to hear this one thing. It does not matter what you have done in your life up to this point. You are sitting here today. God brought you here for you to hear this. Stop going off of your past. It doesn't have anything there for you. Start over if you need to. Don't look at your past. Move on. And when you move on, realize this, that you have a God that loves you very, very much. And he's not holding things against you. Do you need to get forgiveness for some things? You probably do. But look here, once it's under the blood of Jesus, that's it. You don't have to keep beating yourself up over it. A lot of people self-inflict the same pain over and over and over again by replaying things that they've done, and they feel bad about them. We also replay pain by replaying hurtful things that were said to us or about us or over us. You have to stop doing that. Because look here, Christ died for every single battle that we face. So there's no need for you to continue to fight those battles. They've already been won. And it's over. It's done. There's people, no doubt, under the sound of my voice, that you just need to say, it's done. It's done. There is not going to be any pettiness. There's not going to be any offenses. Yeah, they said that thing. How many of you have had somebody say something hurtful to you in the past year? How many of you can be real honest and you think, you know, I might have said some hurtful things to some other folks? That's exactly my point. Exactly my point. So, Matthew chapter 27, we're going to look at verse 11 through 25. So we read at the very beginning where they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which meant save us. Now, we're going to see how they respond. Here's Jesus before Pilate, and it says here in verse 11, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. So here's Jesus, and they're bringing his charges up, which were all bogus charges, and he doesn't even respond. Does not even respond. That was a power move. Some of us would do real well if we would stop responding to other people. Stop responding. How many of you have ever been on Facebook or a text and you started typing something out and God said stop? Some things do not need a response because they're only going to stir the pot. You either want that pot off the kitchen counter and off of the stove, you want it to go away, or you're going to keep stirring it. If you want to stop stirring it, you stop responding. Stop responding. I'm giving you straight facts right out of the Bible. Not every person that criticizes and accuses you do you have to answer to. You're going to answer to an audience of one, and that is Jesus. Respond to him. React to him. He's going to define you to the very last breath that you take. And not every person needs a response. Some people are sent to cause confusion in your life, grief, strife. Those people don't need a response out of you. What they need is for you to turn the other cheek and walk the other way. Amen. And so he says in verse 15, now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." When I say there's nothing new under the sun, there is nothing new under the sun. Here's Pilate's wife, and she's slipping him a note and telling him what to do. Guess what? She was right. Now, men, I'm not saying every time we're right, but I'm saying every once in a while, your wife is probably going to be right. And when she is, you'd do real good if you'd listen to her. Now, when she's telling you to do something terrible or whatever, you're going to have to tell her how much you love her at that point. But here's his wife, and she's saying, "We don't need to do this to Jesus." Verse 20, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' asked the governor. 'Barabbas,' they answered. 'What shall I do then with who is called Christ?' Pilate asked. And they all answered, 'Crucify him.'" All of them. We see just in a few chapters before this, they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now." A few chapters later, they're going, "We're going to crucify him. We want the murderer released, Barabbas, and we want Jesus crucified." That's how quick a person can turn. And I'm going to take that a step further. That's how fast you can turn. We've all done wrong. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all zigged at times when we should have zagged. And we've all done something wrong to another person on this planet. And what we have to do is repent of that and do what Jesus did. Didn't respond to people. Didn't try to defend himself. See, God will defend you. And God will raise you up. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." Verse 25, "All the people answered, 'Let his blood be on us and on our children.' And then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified." Let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look in verse 34. Some things calm down. Those teenagers are going to be working very hard to serve us a good lunch. And I very much appreciate the Schaefers. They do a lot of our cooking. And we love them very, very much. So Luke chapter 23, verse 34. There were a few statements that Jesus made in his very last moments on the cross. And if you can take those statements and live by them, you'll have a very powerful, victorious life. One of those statements was this right here, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing. See, when Christ died for our sins, He not only died for the sins, but the Word says that He became sin. The Word also says that the punishment that brought our peace was upon Him. See, there was a punishment in a crucifixion that took place on our account. In modern day, when people hear, well, Jesus loves you, I don't even know if people take that seriously anymore. People have gotten so accustomed to every single thing because it's like a click away. And Christians, unfortunately, have gotten so cliche, well, Jesus loves you. We'll just pray about it. We'll just, you know, God will move. Yeah, you know what? God is going to move, and He's going to move through us. That's why we ought to be what we say we are. Amen? So He says, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. They don't know what they've done. So God, I'm going to ask You to forgive them. And you know what? This morning, I want to encourage you with this thought right here. Not everybody that hurt you knew the extent of what the pain was going to be in your life. That is something that, Michelle, I did not learn until the last year of my life. And it made me take a really hard look at myself and probably how I have hurt others very deeply and did not even know to the extent that I did. There's something about being in pain yourself to make you think about how you've done someone else wrong, how you maybe hurt someone else. There's people, I don't normally see you here. As God is my witness, there was another message that I wanted to preach instead of this one. But see, God knew every person that would be here. And I want to encourage you, I want to beg you as the pastor of this church, if you are holding someone in that prison of unforgiveness, God is asking you today to let them out. Let them out of there. You are hurting yourself by keeping them in there. You are holding yourself back by keeping that unforgiveness in your heart. God cannot fully move in your life. He cannot fully bless you in your life. He cannot fully provide for you in your life when you are willfully holding unforgiveness. Now, if you're anything like me, you may say, well, why not, Pastor Kelly? And here's why. Because the Word of God says, forgive as I have forgiven you. When we look at how did He forgive us? Well, I know that for me, when He forgave me, He never brought it up to me again. There's something with the human heart that I think, I don't know, I can't speak for all of you, but there's times where when God wants me to forgive somebody, there's a part of me that feels like I'm losing, because if I let them off the hook, they're not going to know what they did wrong. So I want to keep that grudge. You're not going to prosper that way. A lot of people say, well, I want to be right in the center of God's will. Guess where the center of God's will is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. He died for every single thing that person did wrong to you. It's up to you to let them out of there. And look here, if you don't, you're going to be a bitter, angry, mad person. A lot of people don't know why they don't have joy in their heart. It's because they're nursing an unforgiveness. They're nursing a grudge. You can have a grudge or you can have a life, but I don't believe that you can have both. Because holding a grudge takes a lot of effort. Holding unforgiveness takes a lot of effort. It'll take up your energy. I know on my days where I've held the biggest grudges, I just sat on the couch and held the grudge and felt wiped out just by sitting there doing that. Amen. Last place for me this morning, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. I'm going to actually, but I'm going to start out in verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. A lot of people don't know what God really wants of them. There's a lot of confusion that goes on in the world that we live in today. God wants a commitment. He wants your life. He wants everything that you are for everything that he is. One of the things that you must do is say, "You know what, Christ? Into your hands I commit my whole self." Commitment is very hard to come by these days. Because when it gets hard, a lot of people get out. But see, the last words that he spoke was, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I give it to you right now." I'm going to leave you with this thought. Commit yourself. Commit yourself to him. There is nothing new under the sun. The same God that rolled that stone away can roll every problem out of your life. The same God that resurrected Jesus has the power, the ability, and the want to do whatever it takes to get you where you need to be in your life. He has the power to bless you. He has the power to prosper you. He has the power to make things that look like they were going to go badly for you. He has the authority and the power to turn those things around and to cause them to be for your good. What we have to lay down at the altar is our right to be aggravated, our right to be offended, our right to hold that grudge, our right to keep that person in unforgiveness. I also want to say this morning, God's not sitting here holding things against y'all. I've listened to so many messages where pastors do such a bad job at showing who God really is. And I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. God loves you. He's not sitting there thinking how he can mess your life up for what you did in your past. He's sitting there and he's knowing how he's going to make your life better. You have a calling on your life, and that calling comes without repentance. God is not sorry that he put that calling on your life. It is there. You can run from it. You can hide from it. But at the end of the day, it's there. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm going to encourage you to answer the call this morning. And I've learned when the message is done, it's done. Y'all stand to your feet. Now that I've got everybody standing, I'll give you the instructions. So what we're going to do is if you